This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is the company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorite that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Guys, welcome back. Episode 150 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell. Alongside me, Johnny Stofko.
What's up, everyone? What's up, Tristan? 150, what's up?
Yeah, man, we got a great guy. Nihi Sobahian.
Say that 10 times.
That is an interesting name. Nigerian background. He's a great gentleman. He used to play in the NFL.
Yeah, very, you know, this is a very powerful dude in regards to not just physical, but his mindset, his energy. And I love this interview. We get down to the nitty gritty about what he's all about. And he breaks down like the meaning behind of his name. And you kind of see that encapsulates his spirit as well. So Nihi was... it's going to be one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's interesting when you know, some people aren't, and not everyone can be Emmett Smith, but you can learn enough to help bring the next generation through. Like, it might not have happened for you, but it's great to see Nihi actually going back into the trenches and figuring out what worked for him and what didn't work for him, and helping people just really, because sometimes, yeah, it's good to fail. But if you don't have to fail and you can get some good advice, it's always great to get it from people that know their shit.
Of course. And there's different levels to this as well. What you're referencing is the fact that he made it to the league. He made it to the NFL, but he didn't become a Hall of Famer like our boy Emmett. But then you have the guys who had never even made it or never even made college, like myself. And it's interesting to see a guy like Nihi, though, like you just said, help – almost fill in the gaps. See, like, where the development of the athlete, the development of the young up-and-comer is lacking. And he's kind of, like, helping, you know, piece that together. And with a mission like that and, you know, with his intent wanting to put more energy to help people, I mean, that's pretty infectious on multiple levels.
It's actually interesting in world sport that a lot of the not-so-great players, not the Hall of Fame players, like, usually a Hall of Fame player will make – a really shitty coach or a really shitty GM. Example, Michael Jordan.
Yeah, very true.
And it happens a lot in Australia as well. A lot of the greatest players here in Australia in across different sports have not made the greatest coaches. But then you see just, you know,
Phil Jackson,
the hard worker, the role player.
Yep.
Is it because they get so much more time to observe what other people are doing? But it's just really incredible that the fact that these just – better than average, obviously, players have become incredible coaches. And I can kind of see that resonating a lot in Nihi as well. The fact that he played a couple of years in the big game, but some of the things that he tells us in this episode, you'd think he's really going to make a great coach. That's what I just feel resonating from Nihi.
Yeah, and also, like, the coaching thing doesn't have, you know, what I'm under the impression that he's coaching people to prepare for battle on different levels.
Yeah,
he's not blowing the whistle per se, but in coaching, you know, has many different levels to that as well. But I guess it all comes down to your intent. You know, you get a guy like Jordan, you have to think it was pretty tough for him to listen to people.
Yeah. You guess you know what I'm saying? You want, like, to do it your own way, don't you?
Yeah, and then you get a guy like...
and they're so tremendously gifted in terms of...
natural ability. Yeah.
them trying to pass that on to someone else with not as much natural ability.
Probably would be frustrating.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's a very interesting thing. All right, guys, before we get Nihi on, just a big thank you and shout out to everyone that subscribed. We've been getting a lot of shares of the show on social media. So tag us, what are we? Vision Board Pod.
Vision Board Pod on Twitter, the Vision Board Podcast on Facebook, our website, on YouTube. We have some videos up there. And, you know, always get a hold of us. We definitely appreciate the shares and the communication. A little cheeky shout out, Matt McLeod, Coach Kentucky. Love the support, big dog.
There you go. All right, guys, let's get to it. And he is Nihi Sobahian. All right, our special guest is Olanihi Sobahian. He's a former NFL fullback with the New Orleans Saints. He's played college football at Portland State. After sustaining a serious injury and being released, he began coaching and has created successful InNotYou.com, where he helps transform athletes to be successful at an elite level. We welcome Olanihi Sobahian. Olanihi, welcome to the show, man.
What's going on, man? I know my name is hard to say, so you can just go with Nee. Just call me Nee.
Call you Nee? That's what's up, yep. Man. Nee, we appreciate you stopping by the Vision Board. Could you share with our fans, like Tristan Apfer mentioned, what your intent is and what you know what you're achieving with your .com and your movement?
Absolutely, man. So, like you said, I played some ball, grew up in a soccer family, but ended up falling in love with football. And it led me to what I'm doing now, man, which is working with athletes on the mindset, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of what I noticed, especially post-football, is that most people are going at this thing the whole wrong way. And it's the same thing, like, in business as well that I'm noticing is, like, we tend to focus on these things that are easy to focus on. Yeah. But they're not, like, you know, like the 80-20 rule. They're not the things that are going to have the biggest impact. And so I noticed that most athletes are always focused on, you know, working out and getting big and strong and doing all these things, right? But it's like it was the mindset that was preventing them from moving forward. And I noticed even with me, it was like at the times when I was very successful, it was when my mindset was dialed in a certain way. And there were times when I weren't. It wasn't popping in that way. And so I decided to start focusing on the systems and the habits that an athlete would need from a mindset perspective in order to set them up to succeed. And so that's how I started I'mNotYou.com. And that whole brand has really taken off, man. It's been a ton of fun. Worked with a ton of athletes, entrepreneurs as well. Okay. Just anyone who really wants to apply the killer instinct type dominant mindset that you see in a guy like Kobe, that you see in a guy like Brady. How to take this and apply it to anything it is that you're doing, not just sports. So that's what I'm about.
Yeah, Nee. So is there a certain age bracket? You know, I grew up playing sports. Tristan did too. You know, are you focusing on the college level guys, professional guys, younger men? Share with us a little insight on that.
Yeah, it's from the age standpoint, yeah, it's college to pro level, but it's really about the people who are wired a certain way. So like, and I sense that you guys are probably this way, man, because anyone in business kind of has to be. It's like the type of people, and this is where I'm not you comes from, right? And so a lot of times I get, you know, what does I'm not you mean? I'm not you is the mindset. And I actually, it's one of my favorite rap songs by The Clips. It's called I'm Not You. And in the song, I remember I was running and I heard the song and I was like, yo, this is it, man. He said he was talking to these rappers who like talk a good game. You know, they all talk about the gangsters and doing this and this and that. He's like, nah, man, like I actually really live this life. And so he was distinguishing himself from all of the fake, all of the wannabes from like those who are really doing it.
Mm. Yeah.
And so to me, I'm part of the 2%. Like, I'm the type that will do what it takes. I'm the type that you tell me, you know, 90% of businesses fail within the first 10 years. Well, I'm part of that 10%. I'm not about to be the one who fails. And there's a certain type of person who's wired that way, who really wants to dominate, who really wants to go into a situation and, like, just take this shit over. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Not, like, be average or do kind of cool. And so that's really the type of people that I'm going after, is those people who don't want to apologize anymore for wanting to be great, who want to stand out from the crowd. I've always taken pride in the fact that I don't do what everybody else does. So if I notice a lot of people are doing this, I'm like, all right, cool. I know I'm doing the right thing, because if you're doing what everybody else is doing, you can guarantee you're going to get the same results. And so It's those college to pro level athletes, but even further, you niche down even further. It's like those people who really want to take this shit over and really be the best in their sport. And those are usually the alphas. Those are usually those ones who are driven in that way. So that's the target audience, if you will.
Yeah, Nihi, how'd you go from, you're 32 years old now, you're teaching all these different athletes the proper way, the proper systems. In terms of you educating yourself, because how old were you when you left the NFL?
Sorry, say that last part again.
Sorry, how old were you when you left the NFL?
Oh, okay. I think I was 26 when I left the NFL. Yeah, I was about 26. And after that, I spent about 2 to 3 years like really wandering around, not really knowing what I was doing, you know, like trying to figure out what career I wanted to pursue. Because about a year and a half after being out the NFL, I still thought I was going to be back in the NFL. So I was trying to get back in, you know, trying out, working out, you know, dumping all my money into like trying to get back into the NFL. And so I was 26. Around 28, 29 is when I really started to get clear about sort of the direction. At one time, I was working with athletes more like physical training and taking them through these camps and different things like that. And I sort of started attracting a lot of people who wanted to train with me, right, and do like this personal training. And I was like, I very quickly realized that was not what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And that's when I started focusing on the mindset. But in the meantime, I became a firefighter. So actually just last year, I quit my job as a firefighter to do what I'm doing now full time. So I became a firefighter because it was a job that, you know, I felt like I should have. It was like everyone was telling me I needed some security and long term, something that could last me long term. And I became a firefighter, man. It was like that was when just last year I realized, man, that's not something I want to be doing for the rest of my life. So I went ahead and made the decision early to retire early and do what I'm doing full time.
Yeah, Nihi. So with the mindset, that's something I'm really compelled into. I went to school for psychology. When we bring up mindset and you're talking about, you know, the alpha sort of personality that is going to attract themselves to you, where does it go from there? Are you now giving them like maneuverability on how to evolve as an athlete and a business person? Are you helping them develop as a man? Could you kind of share us insights on that?
Absolutely, man. So what I mean by that person who really wants to dominate, right, is the type of people who are driven and want to accomplish something. So if you, most of the time, like there's people who want things, but we don't really know how to do it. And we're not aware of the certain blocks that are preventing us from getting it. And what I found is that the blocks are usually not skills. They're not talents. Many times those can be mitigated. They can be built. It's many times beliefs and thought patterns that they've habitually been running that are preventing them from performing at the highest level. And so what I do when I work with a client, no matter if it's an athlete or, you know, a business executive or whoever, is identifying what they want, right? And usually they're aiming very small. So part of my job is to help them see a bigger vision, to help get a more compelling vision in future, right? And then from there, helping them identify through a lot of it is just the connection that we build initially, but through some very specific things to help them get clear on what's preventing them from accomplishing that. And then helping them systematically set up year goals, quarterly goals, and then create a mental conditioning system, what I call, to facilitate them getting where it is that they want. So much like an athlete who wants to be the best in their sport, they have to physically prepare themselves in a certain way. You have workouts you do every day, boom, boom, boom. And in the same way, you can build your mind in that way as well. And the problem for, you know, most sports psychologists out there or people who are in this sort of space is you just hear a bunch of like, you know, just you got to be confident. You got to be mentally tough, but nobody really shows you how to do it. There are some very specific things you can do consistently to condition your mind in that way. And that's what I work with athletes to set up. And like I said, a very systematic way, not like a random. I'm not a counselor. I'm not a therapist. I'm going to help you set up the infrastructure for your career so that you can consistently grow and grow at a fast rate.
Yeah, Nihi, you've evolved heaps since your NFL career to now. In terms of what you know now, and if you could go back in time to when you were playing, what's the biggest lesson that you would teach yourself?
Oh, man, that's a great question, man. There's a lot of things. I think the first thing would be I would get very clear with my philosophy and my definition of failure and success. You know, so like a lot of people have this idea that, like, let's just think about it. Like, if you have a goal, right, and you don't accomplish it, is there someone out there who's deeming you a failure or success? Like, there's no one out there. It's not like a law that says if you don't reach a goal, you're a failure. Yeah. But we set up these rules that say, like, if you don't do this, you're a failure. Or if this happens, then that means you're not good enough. And many times those are the rules that, like, prevent you from really growing at the rate that you can. So I work very diligently now on making myself immune to failure. That means, like, to where I'm like a scientist. Like, I just look at this shit and be like, all right, it didn't work out. Cool, let's keep going. And that's not easy to do. So I would, if I was going back, I would take that mindset. I would tell myself, hey, listen, man, there's no such thing as failure. Like, you're in the game. There's no such thing as failure. You living, as long as you're breathing, you on the right track. And then from there, setting up my definition of success. Like, a lot of people have this idea that success means if you have a 10-year career or if you win the Super Bowl. I got cut in the middle of the Super Bowl year. You know, like, I got injured. Like, I dealt with, like, some real shit that a lot of athletes deal with that emotionally is tough to deal with. So I would remind myself that, like, success is, like, today. Like, I get to define that. You see what I'm saying? So, like, for me now, how I'm wired now is, like, listen, as long as I know what I want and I'm moving towards it, I'm a success. As long as I know that. Now, so that means if I don't know what I want, then I should feel some pain and then get my shit right on track and redefine what it is that I want. And so I would coach myself up on, like, yo, what's your idea of failure? What's your idea of success? And from there, honestly, another thing that I would do differently is I would have more fun. You know, like, I mean, sometimes when you're in a quote unquote high stakes situation, you know, you're playing NFL football or you're an entrepreneur, like, man, I got 5 children. I'm an entrepreneur. My family has to eat. Right. So, like, this is what I do. A lot of times we can sort of take ourselves too seriously and put, like, undue pressure on ourselves. Now, pressure is not bad. I think pressure is an advantage. However, you should never put more pressure on yourself than you need to, right? Especially when you're in a situation where you got to perform. So it's like, it's not, the idea is not to put more pressure on yourself while you're performing. It's and so when I was in the NFL, I felt like I was a little uptight, especially in my first year. Like, didn't really connect with guys as much as I could have because I was so worried about, like, if I was going to be there and, you know, whether or not things are going to work out. So I would really, I would work on those 3 things if I could do it all over again.
Yeah, man, it's very evident to me that you're pretty well versed on, like, the law of abundance and the law of scarcity, and both of them being the same exact law, just how we choose to look at that scenario. And for the longest time, man, in my life, we talk about this a lot. I used to think the successful were given something, or the people who were had more than me, they were born into it. And then you realize that there aren't any flukes, right? Nobody's given success, man. Nothing happened on accident. So could you talk a little bit about, you know, when you had that trigger, was there a moment? And then the importance of having that mindset of understanding if you want something, you work for it and you could get it.
Yo, that's a great point that you pointed out. And I've been on a real, like, philosophy kick lately. I've always really loved philophy. I've been reading a bunch of Stoics Ralph Waldo Emerson. And
yeah. Have you got into Alan Watts?
What's that?
Have you got into Alan Watts?
No, not yet, man.
We'll send you it. You got it. Yeah, I love philosophy too, man. Sorry to cut you off.
Oh, yeah. We abide. We abide. Definitely, yeah. Man. No, it's all good. You kind of breaking up.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Sorry to cut you off, man. Yeah. I want to hear your rant on philosophy.
No, yeah, definitely. So I'm definitely into philosophy, and I've been into it. So I've just read Ralph Waldo Emerson's. I've read it like 4 times. It's a very small little essay on compensation, right? And the whole idea is, like, listen, like nature, if you plant a seed, you will reap a reward, right? So, like, if you plant a tomato, you're not going to grow corn. You see what I'm saying? And so it's the same way in our lives. It's like, if you plant certain seeds consistently in the form of thoughts, actions, you will get a certain result. And for me, I guess that sort of breakthrough came. They come a lot, right? When I read, I read a ton. And that's one of the reasons why I read, because, like, this shit won't come to you naturally. It's not intuitive. Like, we didn't grow up that way. Like, I grew up the same way as you, thinking, oh, yeah, something's just, these guys are just special. Like, it's not, man. Like, so knowledge is the beginning. So I have aha moments. I have breakthroughs every day, man. And for me, it came a lot. Like, Napoleon Hill, I had a bunch when I read his books. I'm trying to think, like, when was the time where I was like, I watch a ton of videos as well. Like, I go on YouTube and watch interviews from all these people. And I love, like, hearing, I love seeing their process, you know? And so another thing for me is noticing in my life, right, in my own life, when I get certain results and when I don't. You see what I'm saying? And so part of like getting that type of knowledge is like going through the fire, like actually living that life. So, for example, you guys know what it takes to be successful in your arenas, right? And you have that knowledge because you've done it, because you've done it and you like observed what went right and what went wrong. And so for me, like, that's why a lot of these mental conditioning things that I teach, like, for example, even just something as simple as every night evaluating your day, like grasping from any goal that you found out, anything, any mistakes, when you do that moment. So every day is like, oh, man, I noticed that when I do this, this happens. And when I don't, this happens. Like a good farmer will go to his crops and be like, yo, okay, I planted these seeds, I got this reward. Okay, let me repeat that, or let me not repeat that. I noticed that when I did this, I got something I didn't want. So that's why evaluation is so critical, and just having that awareness and not attaching yourself too emotionally. That's why everybody should read, you know, Marcus Aurelius. This a great book I'm reading right now, The Daily Stoic, what's his name? What's the dude's name right there? Ryan Holiday. Yep, Ryan Holiday, okay. Right? Daily Stoic. But he has one page today, man, because they're more on the extreme end of it in terms of like removing the emotion and the passion from it. You see what I'm saying? Like right now, for example, I have a lot of emotion. I have a lot of passion. That's who I am to a degree. But sometimes, man, you have to take a step back and be more observant, be almost just not cold in a sense, but just look at things for what they really are in more of a scientific way. So I guess that's a long way of me telling you that I have a lot of aha moments. I read a ton, and I feel like one of the ways that anyone else listening could have those consistently is by taking time each day to evaluate and look at it from a bird's eye view. That always helps me out a ton.
Yeah. Great advice.
With your coaching clients, your athletes, your entrepreneurs, in terms of that end goal, you know, a lot of them might set an end goal to be a professional sportsman. You know, you made it yourself as a professional sportsman. Do you try to teach them that there is more to life than just that sport?
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's funny that you said that, because I'm just going to keep it real, man. I was at my son's track meet the other day, right? And my kids play sports and things, but I actually really don't care, man. Like, I don't care nothing about the sports, dog. Yeah. Like, people, like, a lot of times, like, remind me that I, like, played in the NFL or, like, how cool it was. And let's not get it twisted. I very much am proud of the fact that I was able to do that, and that was a great time in my life. But that by no means defines my life at all, dude, because the reality is that that's over now. So that shit don't mean nothing now. So part of my job, you know, is to help broaden their vision, if you will. Because a lot of them come to me and they're like, I want to, you know, do this and this and that. And I never talk them out of it. If that's something you want, absolutely. I'm going to show you how to set up the right systems, the right habits, the right mindset in order to facilitate the getting of that goal. However, let me remind you that your career will end at some point, right?
Yeah.
And it will be a new challenge ahead. So it's like when I'm talking about this mindset shit, it's not like, oh, just to reach a goal necessarily. It's like, let me show you how to consistently and habitually reach your goals, whatever they are, right? So like you could go from, you know, trying to make it here and maybe you don't make it, but you learn some things that can help you now in this area of your life. And so I don't really approach it from like just a sports standpoint. One of the biggest things that I do is help my clients divide their life into their separate categories and show them how to manage their life like as a whole, man. Because, I mean, we've seen it, man. I think it was, what was it, Junior Seau, man. He retires. He commits suicide, man. Like a lot of these guys aren't happy, man. It's not about the sport. It was just a game. Yeah. Like for me to get like, you know, upset at my son because he doesn't play well in a football game, that shit don't even matter. Like, it's a game. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So life is so much bigger than that. And so being able to support my clients in their goals and their dreams and desires, but also helping them clarify why as well. Because a lot of them want these things for reasons that are not sustainable. So they want them because, you know, they want to please someone, or they feel like they always have to because they've always done it, right? And their identity is so much attached into these things. And so I have some who decide on that maybe this path is no longer the right one for them, or maybe they want to sorry about that. Okay. Maybe they want to go in a different direction. So Yeah, that's I feel like one of the biggest parts of my job is being the visionary. Any leader has to be a visionary. Mm. So if I'm working with somebody, I gotta know where I'm taking them. So I'm not just trying to take them to some to just this part right here. I want to help them broaden their perspective in that way.
Yeah, man. Hey, did you happen to catch Arian Foster when he was on Joe Rogan's podcast?
Nah, I did, man. I've always really liked him though, man.
Yeah, man. It was really eye-opening, man. He was on his podcast about 2 months ago. And everyone listening at home, if you don't know who Arian Foster is, he was a ball player, he's one of the best running backs during his time. And he's only 30 and he retired and he's talking about what you're exactly talking about. How that the sport, he said if he could do it again, he wouldn't even play it. He said he wouldn't even put his sons in the sport. And this guy like reaped the fruits of, you know, his skill set from that sport. And he's talking about looking back, he wouldn't even play it because it's just a game. He was talking.
Right.
He was talking about, you know, he would have played like the piano or, you know, an instrument, something that, you know,
they
wouldn't be able to take from you. Do you think though that, you know, having made it to that highest level, is it possible for the athlete to compartmentalize that mindset, to have that killer instinct as a ball player and still be able to look at it as like, this is temporary? Or do you think it's because of that mindset is what got you there?
Absolutely, man. So a lot of times when I say like a killer instinct or a dominant mindset, we have this picture in our mind and we think it has to look a certain way, man. To me, if you just look out nature, man, a bird has a killer instinct. Like a worm has a killer instinct. To me, it's living life in the way that you're supposed to live it. Like doing what it is that you're supposed to do. So my wife got killer instinct. She stay at home with the kids. You know what I'm saying? But guess what? She approaches that shit like that's her role. You see what I'm saying? Like, and you do it well. And so to kill it, you could apply the killer instinct in your sport, whatever it looks like for you. So I like to identify with a lion in the jungle, right? But you got to have snakes. You got to have gorillas. You got to have bears. You got to have crickets. So everyone's got to know what it is that their role is. But if you find out what your role is and you play that to the highest level, that's killer instinct. So I absolutely believe it's possible. That's why I've always respected guys like Arian Foster. He lives life on his terms. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? He's not worried about nobody else. That's killer instinct. And that allows you to go out and play. So for some athletes, that means, you know, you locked in the zone more like a Kobe, right? For some people, you out there loose having fun. Whatever is your style of play is like, for example, LeBron has been found how he plays. It looks a lot different than Steph Curry. Mm. Steph Curry is almost like not mechanical at all, but more he's like, not showing a lot of expression, not a lot of emotion, where other guys are more like that, right? You got a Dennis Rodman, you got a David Robinson. It really doesn't matter. It's really finding out what your mode is. So knowing yourself, knowing who you are, and that's one of the fun parts about it. A lot of breakthroughs come when you realize who you really are. It's like, yo, you don't have to fight against who you are. Like, this is actually how I'm built. And some people are always, like, fighting against that. And having this idea that they need to be a certain way. It's like, nah, man, just be who you are. And when you do that shit well, really cool things happen.
Yeah.
Nihi, how long did it take you to let go in terms of, you know, you made the top and then it got ripped away from you? What was the process like? Because your mindset obviously now is a lot different to what it was back then.
Yeah.
But how long did it take you to totally let go and say, well, I don't want to do this anymore and I want to focus on this, man?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, man. For me, it was probably, I would say, it was about a year and a half where I finally stopped chasing football. Yeah. But that was only because the writing was on the wall, dude. It's just like, it's just done, right? But even then, I still wasn't mentally at the place that I am now. There was a lot of things that happened in the meantime. One of the biggest things was, and this is funny, man, like, I don't know how you guys grew up, what type of relationship you had with your dad. You know, the relationship I had with my dad is I always wanted to please my dad. I always wanted to make my dad happy. And I was the one out of his four sons who gave him the most problems. You know, like I was not doing as well in school. All my brothers went to Stanford and Santa Clara. They were like straight A students. And I wasn't that. You know, I wasn't horrible, but I definitely wasn't that. But so I always wanted to please my dad, but I never showed that. Instead, I acted like I didn't, right? Like a lot of kids do. We act like we become kind of cold and callous. And I just focused on like achieving when in the back of my mind, it was really to do that to prove to my dad that I was legit, that I was good enough to be his son without ever saying that. And I actually all came to a front when I was 28 years old. And I remember it was me and all my brothers. We were having like a conversation with my dad and I just started breaking down crying, man. I'm like sobbing. like, man, telling him, like, man, I just wanted to be your son. Like, I was just, I didn't even understand what I was saying. I was just saying what I really felt. And I was crying. And I'm not a dude who cries a lot. My kids always say, like, they want to see me cry. Like, I never cry like that. And so it was funny because he didn't really respond the way that you would think he would respond. But what happened was, is that after that, it was like the load was lifted off me. It was like, yo, it's like I don't have to do that no more. I don't have to try to live life for my dad no more to try to prove him wrong. Or, you know, I was so like uptight, like trying to like achieve. And that worked in some ways, right? I obviously made it to the NFL. I was very like self-driven, self-motivated. So I guess I just found like my killer instinct, if you will, where it was like, yo, now I could actually be myself, you know, and that was when it all started. You know, that's when I started reading a lot. I got a mentor. He had me reading books. Man, I remember the first book I read was The Law of Attraction, you know, Esther Hicks, you know what I'm saying? And it's funny, man, it's funny how people knock the Law of Attraction. Like, right? It's like the realest shit you will ever know. It's like, what do you mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like, what you mean? Like, what you telling me that you won't become that if you think of that?
Yeah.
And so, but I get it, man. There's a lot of people out there who kind of get a wrong idea of it. Yeah. But that book changed my life, though. Like, I was like, oh, shit. Like, so you telling me, that's why I'm having these horrible relationships. And it started making sense. That's why, you know, I'm focusing so much on, like, not failing, right? That's why things are not working out. I'm focused so much on what I don't have. So I remember that book changed the game for me. And then I just started reading, man. I just started, like, gaining a bunch of knowledge. And then I took the clients that I was working with in the gym and started teaching them these things. Cause I was like, man, athletes need to know this stuff, dude. Like, I remember the dude on the 49ers, he had bought the law of attraction for the whole team. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, dude, I was like, I feel you, bro. Like, these guys need to know that. Like, I wish I would have read that while I was playing. So that's sort of how it all started, man. And I just started attacking it, reading at a, like a really fast pace, like devouring books. Like I got a lot of, I really value, I tell my wife, man, I'm like thankful for authors, dude. Like for real, like where I'm like, yo, thank you so much for writing that book. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because you wrote that book and I bought it on Amazon for like $8.
Yeah.
And it changed my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, yo, I read that book and now I read it over and over again. And now I make my kids read it. And that shit changed my life. And so I became almost like, I just love books. You know what I'm saying? Like, I, like 5 days out of seven, man, it's packages from Amazon. I'm buying all the books. The dude you just told me about, I'll buy that book. I love reading. I love acquiring wisdom and knowledge from people who have been through things. And so I guess that's how it all started.
Yeah, man. The Law of Attraction, I'm a big fan of. We've actually had Dr. John DeMartini on the show, the guy that he was featured in The Secret. And it's like the Buddhist philosophy. They say, we are all God because we are the creators of our thoughts. Therefore, right, our thoughts become our reality. And why do you think so many people are so unwilling to, to admit that or see that? It's interesting. I'm always getting in debates about that.
Right. Hey, man, I will say this respectfully to everyone, because people are idiots. And here's what I mean. I'm an idiot, right? Mm. Our baseline is being an idiot. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're kind of like, we're animals. So, like, we're fearful. We don't like change. You know, like the great book by, what's the dude's name? I don't know why I'm blanking on names today. Charlie Munger. Poor Charlie's Almanac, right? Warren Buffett's right-hand man.
Yeah.
He talks about the 25 cognitive biases. Like, we're wired a certain way, dude. We're wired to be idiots, especially now as, like, technology has evolved to such a degree. Like, our minds have not caught up. And so most people don't have a lot of knowledge. They don't know any better. So I would get in arguments. I remember I told my brother about it, and his wife was like, they got the audiobook of The Law of Attraction, right? Mm. And she wouldn't listen to it just because it was really weird. You know, like Esther's talking to Abraham, you know, and apparently in the audiobook, I don't have the audiobook, but apparently it like sounds kind of weird, right? Like, it's like they're like talking, and she just couldn't get over that. And I'm like, that's a trip, man. Because if you just listen to what they're saying, like, that's game right there. But people, don't like change and they're afraid of it. And if we just look back in history, man, the majority has always not been. I mean, you look at these people on my wall, man. You got Martin Luther King. You know what I'm saying? You got Muhammad Ali. Like, Muhammad Ali, we celebrate him now. but we weren't celebrating him back then. You know what I'm saying? America was not celebrating him. He was hated. Yeah. Martin Luther King was shot dead for his beliefs that we should all be integrated, that we should go to schools together. So when I look at people now who don't understand shit, I'm like, man, that means I'm on the right track. You know what I'm saying? So guys like me and you could vibe. Mm. So we vibing. But if somebody's not vibing with that, that's fine, man. You just proved to me that we on the right track. Because if most people are thinking this, then that means that I shouldn't be doing that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because most people are not successful. Most people don't get what they want out of life. Most people are unhappy. Most people run from conflict. Most people indulge in so many harmful vices that like do not help them. Food, sex, drugs, pornography, alcohol, whatever. Checking their phone all day. Instagram, Twitter, all that shit, man. Most people are not where I want to be at all. So I instead choose to listen to those people who I do want to be like, right? So if you think about Marcus Aurelius, I'm not sure what was that like, you know, before Christ. I mean, we're talking about like that's thousands timeless, dude. Yeah, for sure. That's like real wisdom. And we reading him today, like if you look at all the successful people, they talk about they read that book. If we're still reading him today, chances are I should probably listen to him. You know what I'm saying? He's lasted. The people who you and I argue with about the law of attraction, nobody's going to be talking about their thoughts and ideas 10 years from when the time they did. They're going to forget about them probably a year after. Yeah. And that's no disrespect. So I feel like our job is to become people of value. You see what I'm saying? Like you talk about your podcast, you interviewing some heavy hitters. You guys are distributing real ideas out there. That shit's going to be remembered. That's valuable. And when people are doing like what you guys are doing, you don't have time to be focused on all these naysayers, all these corny people who don't have nothing good to add to the world. So I guess, man, I don't know why. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, you know, time will tell. But I just know this, like law of attraction, our job is to focus on where we want to go, man, and distribute our good ideas to the world, add value to the world, man. And everybody else, they could do whatever they want. But just know that we get, you know, we reap what we sow. Like, so whatever seeds we plant, we'll get it. And that's why that brings a sense of urgency to what I'm doing, because I know that to be true for me. So it's like, oh, shoot, like, what am I doing today? Like, what did I do today? What are my thoughts today? How am I living today? How am I treating people today? How much value am I adding today? Like how impactful am I? If I die today, are people going to be like, yo, I wish he was still here? Or are people going to be like, you know, like, I love hip hop. Mm. Tupac will always be remembered. For sure. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep.
But if you, and I'm not going to say no rappers' names, there's a lot of rappers that are horrible. If they fall off the mat, we'll never forget them because they're not adding a lot of value. Like, it's not valuable. It's not something that has, it's not tangible. They're like candy where you eat it, you get hungry a few seconds later. Where like you listen to some Nas, that's like eating some salmon and some quinoa. You know what I'm saying? And some roasted vegetables.
That Illmatic.
That's some hearty shit right there that gets her. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So yeah, man,
That's a good comparison, man. I like how you said that Nas is like eating some salmon. I like it.
Right, right. That's a
good comparison.
What's up, guys? Be sure to pick up your free copy of Conversations with Champions. This is our free ebook, which is comprised of inspirational quotes from past guests that we've had on the show.
Get inspirational quotes from champions such as Evander Holyfield, Jonathan Thurston, Grant Cardone, Gary Vee, Larry Holmes, Mario Andretti, Anthony Mundine, Joe DeFranco, and many, many more.
To pick up your free copy now, just simply go to our website, www.divisionboardpodcast.com/ebook. Put your name and email in the slot. It takes about 10 seconds, and we'll send you the book directly to your inbox. Now back to the show.
Nee, tell me about the Wall of Fame, because I'm loving all these pictures behind you. You mentioned a couple of the gentlemen in Muhammad Ali and also Martin Luther King. I just wanted to know, who's the other eight on there, and what's the purpose behind it all, man?
Ah, man, that's a great question. So let's go. We got more over here. I got Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali, Damian Lillard. I'm from Portland. Yeah. I got Nas over there. Yeah. Muhammad Ali again with Joe Brown, Frederick Douglass, Deion Sanders, Tony Robbins, the Diplomats,
okay. Dipset, Cameron. Well, Cameron.
Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan, Martin Luther King. Here's what all these guys represent to me. First of all, every single one of them on an emotional level resonates with me. Emotional. They're not just people that I got up there, right? Yeah. So when you talk about Cam and Nas, these were rappers that like I listened to when I was training, when I was trying to get to the NFL that got me. Like when you talk about Cameron on track one, Glory, that song Glory in that interlude, Like, that shit would give me goosebumps every single time I listened to it.
Yeah, man.
Like, when he was talking about going through the jungle, and I was like, these were like the soundtracks to my life, right? And so then you talk about Malcolm X, somebody who truly had the killer instinct, somebody who at the time were like really spoke for like the people, man. I got a picture of the Black Panthers over here. Don't even get me started when it comes to that. You know what I'm saying? But Malcolm X is somebody who has the killer instinct, who really spoke for his people, who really was fearless in the truest sense of the word. You talk about Damian Lillard, man. He's just this picture that he got where he's looking up to Dwight Howard. Yeah. Y'all can't really see it, but he's fearless, man. And I'm from Portland. I love my Blazers, and that picture just really speaks to me. Frederick Douglass, again, man, someone who was fearless. Whenever I start getting scared or like nervous, like, oh, I don't know if this is gonna work out, I look at these pictures, man. Frederick Douglass, you read his autobiography. He escaped from slavery, right? The first time they got caught. But they didn't kill him, right? They whooped him and all of that, but they didn't kill him. And so then he decided to run away again. But he knew that if he ran away again and he got caught, they weren't going to kill him. They were going to torture him. They would torture him because they wanted to make him know, especially who his slave owner was. You got to read his autobiography. It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
But he did it anyway, and he succeeded. You know what I'm saying? And he had a tremendous impact on the world and shaped like the ideas and the beliefs that we had about slavery during that time, man. So whenever I get scared, I'm like, dude, that dude really went through some shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, what I'm going through ain't nothing. It's the same thing with Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King was going against what everyone told him. Even his own people were like, nah, man, it's cool. We'll be segregated. It's cool. And you watch the movie Selma. I was watching with my kids about a month and a half ago.
It's tough, man.
People were dying on his behalf. You know what I'm saying? People were dying on his behalf, on behalf of his vision and his dream. He could have easily been like, nah, man, let's just call it quits. But he didn't. And people were calling his family, threatening his family. He knew he was going to die. He was depressed like the last 2 years of his life. But he still held true to his vision. And so for me, if I'm waking up tired, you know, nervous, you know, don't feel like doing my work, it's like, yo, what's my vision requiring me to do? Like, because I know what Martin Luther King did. I know what Muhammad Ali did. You know what I'm saying? Mm. I know what all these cats did. Tony Robbins, again. Tony Robbins is somebody who, when I was at my job, I was working at this factory job after I was at the NFL, just trying to figure out what I wanted to do next, and worked at this dead-end job, like just hating it, but just like moving, irrigation and stuff like that. And I started listening. It was around the time where I first read Law of Attraction. And then I like downloaded this like bootleg copy of like Tony Robbins. I didn't even really know who he was. I just like, I knew him because he was in Shallow Hal. You know what I mean? And I knew he was stuff. Yep. But I downloaded one of his audio books, bro, like or programs. And that shit changed my life, bro. I was like, oh, I was like, and I was listening to it. I remember I was just like in a trance. I'm like, oh, serious, bro? So you telling me I could actually change how I feel? Like, you actually showing me how to do that? Like, and I'm seeing how I could actually change how, man. So he's somebody who's impacted me heavily. I'm actually interviewing his son next week. I'm super juiced, man. I'm gonna do my best to like not like, you know,
Man, that wall, right. Like you got Damian Lillard. We could go back to Damon Stoudemire playing ball at Portland, and then you bring up the diplomats, man. That I really mean it. I'm ready. That whole double play. Yeah. So I can start freestyling. Right,
but diplomatic, if you did that album, that double album,
I have both of them, man. That Purple Haze too, Santana. We could keep talking. But so let's talk about, like, man, you are, dude. Your passion resonates, man. It's infectious. It's very inspiring, very motivating. What are you doing to detach? Do you do any type of meditation? Are you doing any type of like float tanks? We saw you at the On It. You were at the On It Training Academy in Austin, I think, right before we were there last year, right? Did you do that interview in person?
No, I wasn't there. No, I interviewed on that podcast, but I wasn't there. No.
Okay, but yeah, I know that they have, you know, at the On It, they got some float tanks and some cryo chambers. Are you doing any type of like recovery to kind of detach from everything?
Nah, I mean, not no cryo or anything like that. That's actually something that I wanted to do. My workout routines and the things that I do right now are pretty basic. You know what I mean? But I'm disciplined to them. You know, so for me, recovery, like, so here's my. I don't get a ton of sleep, man. Like, honestly, and I don't know when that's gonna change. So I'm not the best dude to talk about, like, you know, different hacks physically and all those type of things. You know what I'm saying? I'll leave those to, like, I'll leave that to Tim Ferriss and all those type of dudes. But I will say this, the way that I recover, man, it starts like mentally with me. You see what I'm saying? Because, you know, you could do your best. I do my best to control my physical environment. But anyone with kids, you know, I got five, you know, a lot of responsibility, a lot of time. There's a lot of things that are sort of outside of your control. And so the way that I feel like the thing that I use to recover is I plan my ass off. You know what I'm saying? Like, I am a, when you see the way I got my shit laid out, man. And it was out of necessity. I can't say I was always a dude who was like very organized and planned out, but it's like, I like am a diligent planner. So we talk about my, you know, the beginning of the week, my system that I have to set up my week for my days to every quarter. I go away with my wife. We set up our plans for the, you know, the next 3 months. And every day I'm revisiting my goals and my game plans, tweaking, et cetera. And I know it doesn't sound like something that's fun for a lot of people or, you know, rejuvenating. I can't say it's fun for me, but it really does like renew me because it allows me to do this. It allows me to show up every day and really just focus on the day. You see what I'm saying? Like, you know, everybody's like, oh, you know, just be here, be present, you know, all that shit. Like, and that's really valuable. It's really true. But you know what the thing about it is, most people can't do that because they don't really think. You see what I'm saying? They don't plan out their life. So how are you going to show up and be in the moment when you got 80 million things in your life that you haven't, you know, settled, that when you got relationships that aren't tended to, when your money ain't right, you know, when your health ain't right? And it's why, like, a lot of athletes want to be in the zone, quote unquote, but you got to earn that. You see what I'm saying? So when you read the book Relentless by Tim Grover, he talks about these guys like Jordan, Kobe, their approach to the game. Like, we just see the end result. We think it's real sexy, right? They drop, get 50 points, you know, dunking all everybody. But they don't see the planning that goes before, though. Yeah. They don't see, like, Kobe Bryant spending 30 minutes exercising his knuckles. You see what I'm saying? Like, that shit's not fun. That's not sexy. But those are the type of things that earns you the right to be in the zone. So for me, it's like, I got a plan, man. So like at the end of each night, I close my door. I put on my little soundtracks. I got the Gladiator, you know, Batman, all that. I put them joints on, burn some incense, bring out my journal, you know, reflect, you know what I'm saying? Write out the plan for the next day. Sit in my chair, read my Marcus Aurelius, read my, you know, Seneca, read my Epictetus, you know, read, you know, some Napoleon Hill, whatever it is that I'm reading. And just like calm my mind and get my mind right. So again, like I said, man, I don't have no crazy, you know, tricks or tactics. I don't go no cryo chambers and nothing like that. But those habits really serve to like renew me every day.
Nee, you've got a Nigerian background, correct?
Yeah. My dad is full Nigerian. He came here when he was 18 years old.
Awesome. What I was going to ask you was, is there a meaning behind your name, Olanihi?
Yeah, absolutely. It means there's glory and wealth. There's glory and wealth. So all my brothers, we have the Ola before our names. It means blessings or glory or wealth. Right. And so I remember when I had my son, my dad always taught us that the Ola means blessings. And I remember when I had my son, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to name him, but I wanted to be Nigerian. And I reached out to this guy who like wrote this book on Nigerian names. He's a Nigerian dude. And he told me the meaning of my name, like in a different way than my dad told me. It was like a different translation because my dad always told me it meant blessings are appreciated. But this guy told me, he said, your name is like in Nigeria, it's like royal, like only a very few people have it. It's like people top notch. And he said it means there's glory and wealth. And I was like, oh, hell yeah, I like that. You know what I'm saying? There is glory and wealth. So I was like, man, I'm running with that. But yeah, my dad, had a huge influence on us, man. Super disciplined dude, very passionate, very disciplined, and just like, you know, James Allen is another one of my favorite authors, and he always talks about live by rule. Like, you must live by rule. And my dad he lives by rule. His life is laid out, man. He like works out every single day, no matter what. If it's a holiday and he can't get to the gym, he go on a 2-hour walk. You know, like, he's like, I gotta get my workout in some sort of way. And he just taught me a lot of values, a lot of things that really hold with me, you know, today.
Do you mind sharing what your brothers and your children's names are?
Yeah, absolutely. So my oldest brother, Olatunde, Oladele is my other brother. Olanihi is mine. So we all go by the last part as well. So like Olatunde would just be Tunde. So Tunde, Dele, Knee. Remy is my little brother, Ola Remy. I have another brother named Ola Lekan as well. A sister named Lai Ola. Then my son's name is Olajuwon, like Hakeem Olajuwon. He's Nigerian. Ola Diran. And then my youngest son is named after me, Ola Ni. And my daughter's name is Samaya. She has a Nigerian middle name, which is Lola. And then I have my stepdaughter. Her name's Riley. And then throughout my family, my brother just had a kid, Ola Jaye. We go on and on, that's man. We got man. The Shibuki blood runs deep. We're everywhere.
Yeah, man, I'm a big quote guy. You know, Tristan knows that. If you go to my social media, I like posting quotes. If you're into quotes, do you mind sharing one with us? Maybe something that speaks to you that our listeners maybe could keep with them?
Absolutely, man. It's a Thomas Edison one, man, that I really like. And he talks about, he said, show me a thoroughly satisfied man and I'll show you a failure. And I was like, wow, man, that slapped me in the face. Like, we all had this idea that we're going to be content. You know what I mean? Like, but again, remember I was talking about the I'm not you mindset. Those who are wired in the way that I am is like, you ain't never going to be enough, man. I'm not never like Jordan. He didn't never go home like, yeah, I'm good. Like, nah, it's always a hunger, man. You always going to be hungry. You got to, you know what I'm saying? So it's never, you're never going to be satisfied. And that was a great quote. And then at the end, he also talked about, he said, restlessness. I can't remember how he said it, but basically he was like, restlessness is the first sign of discontent. And discontent is like the beginning of change or something to that degree. But it basically was like, most people don't like to be restless or be discontent with something. But he's like, what you mean? Like, you gotta be discontent. If I wasn't discontent, we wouldn't be having light bulbs. We would still be burning, you know, gasoline or, you know, lighting candles. So that like dissatisfaction with the current status quo or whatever it is. And again, Mark Cuban talked about it. Mark Cuban, owner of the Dallas Mavericks. He has a great book. It's called like How to Do Great in Business or in Life or something like that. It's a really short book. But he talked about that same thing. He was like, man, people say I'm a complainer. He's like, damn right I'm a complainer. Because when I see something that I don't like, I complain about it and then I do something about it. Yeah. So he's like, if you ask me, more people should be complainers. We shouldn't have more, quote, content or satisfied. Like Martin Luther King was thoroughly dissatisfied with how shit was. And so anyway, that's a great quote by Thomas Edison that I really like, that I use a lot. It reminds me because I get discontent. I'm a passionate dude. I be seeing shit all the time that's not to my liking. You know, and the idea is not, just like they said in the law of attraction, that emotion is a signal for you to change your focus, right? And so if you use it as a signal, it's like the gaslight in the car. Like you can use it to go get some gas. So if you use that discontent, if you don't like the way you look in the mirror, then do something about it. Don't run from that reality, you know, and go look at your phone or go eat some more food. Use that discontent to fuel you, to drive you. So I really like that quote.
Thanks for that, man. We appreciate it.
You keep people accountable for a living, man. Let's talk inner circle. Who keeps you accountable?
Man, that's a great question. So first off, I built systems in my life to keep myself accountable. That's number one, right? Yeah. So we talk about setting up your goals, reviewing them daily, et cetera. But that's not all. And so I have a mentor. I have several mentors, actually. But I really keep – it's really my peer circle, those who are – like my guy Brandon Crocker, who edits my podcast and is responsible for a lot of things in my back end of all the business that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. That's one of my main guys. I talk to him like six, seven times a week. And we're very aware of what it is that's going on, what needs to be done, et cetera. My wife keeps me accountable. Yeah. She knows me better than anyone, and she knows my dreams and my goals better than anybody. And it's something really powerful about, you know, first just having somebody who you can feel comfortable with being yourself around, but then knowing that she's always going to keep it real with me. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes that shit don't feel good either. So that's really the main things. My brothers, man, like my especially my older brother, Dele. He's like the one in our family who like, he don't play around, you know what I'm saying? Meaning like he actually just got engaged today, man. So congrats to my brother. Congrats. He's a dude who could really tell you how it is and do it in a way that doesn't make you feel good, but you thank him for it. You know what I mean? Like you're happy that he did it. You need people like that, you know? That's sort of my inner circle, if you will.
Awesome. Any more questions for your personality?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we're going to hit the personality round. Johnny's got the first question, bud.
All right, first question for everyone listening at home, experience bad days. You know, some advice for them overcoming adversity.
Sorry about you. You broke up. Say that one more time.
Any advice? So our listeners at home having a bad day, some advice to them to help them overcome that adversity.
Yeah, absolutely. So how to overcome adversity? Here's what I would say. Number one, don't bottle it up. Like, talk about it. Talk about it. A lot of times we have this false idea that we should be positive. That's when people have the wrong idea of law of attraction. It's not telling you to bottle it up. Talk about that shit. Find a partner, like your wife, a therapist, somebody, and get it out or journal it. The next thing after that is look at it and decide what you want it to mean. You see what I'm saying? Like, so decide, what can you take from this? What do you want it to mean? Because the reality is you're going to have a lot of things that happen every day that you don't like. But what does it mean? So let's say you low on money. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean you a broke dude? Nah, just make it mean that you don't have no money right now and you need to get some. So decide what it is that you, the meaning that you want to extract from it, and create a plan of action to get yourself out of it. It's kind of simple. Get it out, decide what you want, and move towards it. That's how I do it.
All right, Nihi, I'm going to take you back to your childhood, man. What childhood posters did you have on your bedroom wall growing up?
Hey, so I'm a hip hop dude, man. You gonna like this, bro? Like, so I used to take the covers of the fucking albums, right? And I would put the inside all across the top of my wall. So it was like a strip around. So I had a lot of rappers, man. So I love DJ Quick, West Coast rapper. I was a huge DJ Quick fan.
Yep.
And I had all of his CDs signed because he came to Portland. So I had DJ Quick. I had Jerome Bettis, was one of my favorite running backs growing up. So I remember I had posters of him. It was really just rappers and a few football players. That was really it.
All right. So Nihi, if your three closest friends were sitting at a table and you weren't in the room, what sort of things would they be saying about you?
All right. Let's start with the not so positive, man. They would say, number one, I could be pretty intense, you know, meaning like I consider myself a patient dude, but I can be pretty intense, you know? And so that would show it depending on what three people they were. That's what they would say, man. But the other thing that they would say is that I'm a visionary, man. Like, I got big goals, big dreams. I can see the big picture and I think well, I think clearly. So hopefully they would say that about me. And hopefully they would say I'm fun to be around, man. That's the one thing I hope they would say. You know, sometimes I can get pretty, like I said, I get kind of like too focused. You see, so that's another thing I feel like they would say is they would say, maybe, man, sometimes he needs to like dial it back a little bit, man. Like, he's a little too aggressive. Like, you move a little too fast for your own good sometimes. And so that's a sample of what they would say.
All right, final questions, Nihi. You're going to be hosting a private dinner party. You've got 5 invites. Only rules, no family or friends, but it can be anyone dead or alive. Who are you inviting, my man?
Can they be, they have to be alive?
No, dead or alive, man.
Oh, dead or alive. That's a fun one, man. I ask a similar question, so this is going to be fun. All right, so first, I would have to have Muhammad Ali there. He would be one of the first ones. Let me think, man. This is tough. I know. I understand why people have a hard time with this. So, I mean, I just look back here. I mean, I can't say I would have Tony Robbins there. I got to have Tony Robbins there.
For sure.
I would have Oprah there. I love Oprah, dude. I love Oprah. And it's so real, so authentic. Napoleon Hill. I would love to have Napoleon Hill there. That's a dude I would love to spend a whole day with him, man, just chopping it up with him, follow him around. Let's see, that's 4. Tony Robbins, Oprah, Napoleon Hill, Muhammad Ali. Let's see. My grandpa, who I didn't know, my dad's dad. Wow. My dad is a boss, man. My dad is a boss. And his dad was the chief. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
And I'm so, like, I actually got chills just talking about it because I want so badly to, like, know that part of my heritage. You know what I'm saying? Like, Well, my dad told me that, like, my ancestors, like, actually, when slavery was going on and they were bringing people from, like, my ancestors were responsible for, like, taking people away and taking them to a new village. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we escaped that, you know, like, our last name means the gods of Africa protects us. And wow. So that's, like, really powerful to me. And it would be like, you know, my grandma and grandpa, because I didn't know either of them. And my grandma was a very strong woman that, like, just I always love looking at. She's like she's an intense woman, you know. And so my grandma or grandpa from my dad's side, man, and all those rest of the people.
Olanihi, man, we really appreciate you sharing the space with us, man.
Yeah, definitely. Before we let you go, though, we want everyone following you. You're www.imnotyou.com across Twitter and Instagram, Nihi Sobo. Anything else you want to add, my man?
That's it, man. That's it. That's where you can find me. If you're somebody who wants to achieve at a high level, you got to listen to my podcast, man. I bring it. I do a lot of teaching on there. I go deep. I don't hold back, man. And it's something that I put a lot of time and energy to. So I got two podcasts, Sports Motivation Podcast and the Get Your Mind Right. The Get Your Mind Right, you'll like it, man. I basically just take the dopest hip hop instrumentals and little quotes and wow. I just go off on them, you know, just motivation, just my thoughts on little bars that they say that have always inspired me that I used to like to listen to.
Yeah, man. Yo, do you listen to, have you listened to any Logic? Cause I really haven't, I got my old school hip hop guys I listen to. And then I fell upon Logic like maybe 7 months ago. And this dude is killing his freestyle game. Off the hook. And he's writing about real stuff.
Yeah. Right. Hey, Logic is a beast, bro. We trying to get him on the podcast, man.
Oh,
so,
man,
like,
get him. The new one.
His interlude with Neil deGrasse Tyson. Did you hear that joint?
Yeah.
It's called Waiting Room.
Yeah, man. He's like God.
Right. That joint is crazy. But yeah, his album is hot. I like Logic, man. I came up on him probably like a year and a half ago. But, he is funny. He actually looks just like my son, too. I always joke around with my son. He looks like Logic. But, I like Logic.
All right, man. Yeah, we appreciate you, man. I'm going to check your podcast out for sure.
No doubt, man. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Johnny, that was Nihi.
How about his energy?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I felt like he was in the room with us.
Awesome.
It was awesome, man. And to see, like, you know, he definitely has that different levels to it. Like, he would, you know, the intellectual side of him, and then the motivational speaker side of him, and then the coaching side. Yeah, it was a very enjoyable interview.
Oh, big time. It's great to see someone so passionate about something, and really, like we said before the show, helping people not make the same sort of mistakes that he kind of made. But at the same time, just that passing on of knowledge, like, you can tell he's going to be a great, great coach. Not a tech, like we spoke before, not a whistleblowing coach,
but yeah,
in that mental sort of framework. And I think he's kind of created a nice niche for himself, and I don't see a lot of people doing this.
For sure. I'm very intrigued by him. That's probably the biggest take-home point for myself, having sat down with Nihi, is that, like, I was like, the whole time, I'm like, wow, I didn't know this was a thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know that there were retired ex-NFL players who were still cared about the sport enough to help other young dudes who maybe still have a shot. Also, man, how studious and how well-read he is. I always admire people who do things that I'm not doing, and reading actual physical books. I listen to a lot of audiobooks,
yeah,
and I watch a lot of podcasts, but to actually have the book in my hand, it's something that always feels good, but I kind of have ADD a little bit.
Yeah.
It's tough for me to sit.
It's true. No, so, I go through the same sort of struggles.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to read Elliot Hollis's book
King.
At the moment. I'm kind of set myself a goal of 15 pages a day, and even that sometimes, depending on what time you get home at night, can be tough.
Yeah, and then we're doing this interview basically in Nihi's man cave, and we see all of his books and his library and all the references, and I'm just like, man, that's dope. You know, I'm inspired,
like, every week.
He's for like, sure. Like, and you know what? I'm definitely going to get into Marcus Aurelius, because he keeps being brought up,
does, and doesn't he?
Yeah, and it's one of these. I was at dinner last night. I was referencing this interview about, and also the Stoic philosophy. And it seems like the men that we speak to that are constantly inquiring and being inquisitive about pushing their own potential all have this almost connection or being drawn to, like, the classic, the ancient philosophers.
Yeah.
And it's something that I definitely am going to put more of my time into. It just seems like it would be a good investment.
No, I think it'll be a great learning experience. Guys, next on the show, we've got Yuri Elkaim. He's got a great story, another guy in the fitness industry, and I think you'll really, really enjoy his story.
Yeah, the wellness space is becoming overall one of my favorite interviews because it's one thing that we all have in common. You know, our health and wellness is something that is going to – vitality, you know, is very important, and Yuri, his story is very important, and we're stoked to bring this on.
Yeah, guys, so check that out. That'll be out on Wednesday. So in the meantime, please subscribe, share it with your friends. You can follow us, Johnny's, that's Johnny Stofko.
Johnny Stofko, guys. Also, you know, Instagram, Facebook. But go to my YouTube now, Johnny Stofko. Hit that red subscribe. It's a new little channel I'm doing with a lot of my coaching stuff. And TK, Tristan Cannell.
I'm Tristan Cannell or Tristan Cannell Fitness across all my social media. So get in touch. Tag us in the little posts. We love hearing from everyone. Or you can email us at info@thevisionboardpodcast.com.
Yes, sir.
Johnny, I will check you on Wednesday.
Be good, big dog.
All right. Peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast. Stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.